As you know, at least once a week, sometimes twice a week, this program comes to you from a little studio in the Upper Hunter in a town called Muswellbrook. And as I sit and talk to people around the world, I'm surrounded by massive open-cut mines. And during the program, you sometimes hear the rumble of the great coal trains as they pass the studio, shaking the building. Now, we've been very conscious, those of us who live in that neck of the woods, that there are health problems, but we've only had anecdotal evidence. And that's why I'm delighted to welcome to the studio, which on this occasion is in Sydney, Dr. Dick Van Stennis. Dick is a GP, took early retirement due to ill health. I must say he looks fine now. And he did anything but retire because for the last 15 years, carrying out extensive research into industrial pollution, its effects on public health, internationally recognised as an expert. And he's in Australia to give a number of public forums on the effects of particle emissions from the open-cut mines, yes, in the Hunter, and also in Queensland. How did you get into this kind of work, Nick?
I was asked at the end of 1994 to join the committee on the executive for the Campaign for the Protection of Rural Wales, and they look at planning issues. And so I said I was willing. That was sounded quite interesting. And they look at major planning issues. The first committee meeting I went to, there was an application by the power company to switch fuels to imported bitumen mix. And so the others said, well, you know, that's going to have health impacts. So you just sort it. I said, I don't know the first thing about toxicology. Well, just sort it. It's your problem. So I then prayed about which way to go and for insight. And so it came to me to go and check out the asthma levels in the county, which I then got from 36 schools and mapped them out. And then you could see with the prevailing winds which way the pollution was going and what rate of asthma was arising from it.
Well, there are, of course, interesting connections between Wales and New South Wales because both of them have long histories of mining.
Yes.
How bad is this ultrafine matter that comes out of open cut mines here in Australia? How bad is it for health?
It is very bad. I've actually got measurements taken in five schools in North Derbyshire where we had the PM2.5 monitors running for for 3 years. Then I've got measurements in Brighton where we had levels of PM10s, PM2.5s and PM1s where four bulldozers working in a waste site about 50 foot underground. And the levels were astronomical because I'll read them to you. And this is now week's average, not peaks. The PM10s, which don't get in the lungs anyway, they were 116 micrograms, which is way above the legal limits in the UK and here, no doubt. The PM2.5s were 163 micrograms and the PM1s were 253, far higher again. And the safe limit, you might say, for the latter two would only be 7 micrograms. And here we have levels of running into hundreds.
Now, well, as I said, we've got tons of anecdotal evidence from my part of the world on health problems. Everything is covered in dust from the mines, but of course you can see that. It's the stuff you can't see that's the real problem.
That's right. The size of particles that gets in the lungs is 2.5 and 1 microns and below. Now, the PM1s are actually the worst, slightly the worst. There was a study done of children in Austria a few years ago, and there's been studies done by Dr. Hendricks in West Virginia where he found that the actual health damage was far higher than the value of the coal. There have been studies done in South Wales where they did peak flows in all the children at 1 mile from the open cast mines. And basically, 1 in 3 children at 1 mile get asthma from the open cast mining, some 20% at 2 miles and 12% at 3 miles. This is the laws of physics because the bulldozers are burning what I might call, certainly in England, very substandard diesel. Mm. In fact, it's now labelled as hazardous waste by the EC directive, which is now law in England. And each bulldozer is putting out as many of these very fine particles as 900,000 Volvo cars.
Dick, when you came to Australia a while ago, you discovered that a coal-fired power station, not far from the Muswellbrook studios, was being used as an incinerator for hazardous waste. This as well as all the matter coming out of the open cuts. This very loudly.
Yeah, 15 months ago, there was two power stations coal-fired with any substantial abatements whatsoever. So they'd be putting out mercury and particles of PM5 size, mostly. Then there was a third one, which was near Singleton, which was burning Sydney's waste as well as the coal, and the effect of that is to make the particle size smaller, down to PM2.2, meaning all the particles coming out get in the lungs instead of just a few. And I now found out today that now two of those three power stations are now burning waste. One commercial has waste and the other one Sydney's waste. So this is getting worse, far worse. And I suggested that it's not safe to be using a coal-fired power station as an incinerator when it's not set up as one.
You'd call for the Liddell station to be replaced with a plasma gasification plant.
That's right, because that would have handled the waste safely, the emissions are safe, and it would have produced far more electricity as well for the same waste.
As you know, and of course most of the listeners cannot begin to comprehend this, the Hunter Valley is a vast open-cut coal mine. It goes on in every direction, apparently forever. So a lot of nasty stuff's coming out of it.
Yes, I drove right down last time, and once you get below Quirindi, it's stark obvious. But
so what's happening to the kids?
Well, the kids are being plastered, first of all, by the particulates from the coal mining, which will then cause an increase in asthma, low birth weight of the babies, and that will also cause a messing up of the immune system, because the T lymphocytes, which handle infections and vaccines and the like, they go to the lungs to handle these fine particles breathed in, and that means the immune system is left unprotected, so they handle the vaccines badly, so you get very high rates of autism, partly because of the mercury coming out of the coal-fired power stations on top of the vaccines.
Do the politicians know about this?
I understand that today there's been a so-called promise of extra money for autism and other health in the Hunter. And I understand from a teacher that the levels of autism are as much as 1 in 15 in that area. And you know, that doesn't surprise me at all, because you've got a treble whammy going on, haven't you? You've got a dirty coal-fired power station with its own problems, especially mercury. Then you've got and sulfur gases. Then you've got the two incinerators come power stations, which are going to cause an even bigger range of health effects, including cancers. And what worries me is that you've got the polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, PAHs for short, which come out of the bulldozers and out of the power stations, and they cause a dropping of IQ in the children in direct proportion to the level that Dr. Prira found. And they also cause low birth weight babies and cancers and asthma.
So the locals get very worried about all the muck they see on their washing.
That doesn't matter, and that's really the least of their problems. That's nothing.
It?
It's the small stuff, the very fine stuff that's getting in the lungs, of which the PM1s are slightly worse than the 2.5s. And what annoys me is that even though there's a PM2.5 limit in Australia, they're not having the monitors done properly.
We've had great big scientific noses put in place lately that sniff the air. Useful tools?
No. No, what we need is PM1 and PM2.5 monitors independently set up with the results going on the internet. And they have to be of the beta attenuated monitor sort, because they're factory set and can't be fiddled, because in England they have PM2.5 monitors here and there in London area. And you can fiddle the zeros.
Is that right? Well, last time I looked, there were about 1,100 applications for coal mines and new ones and extensions in New South Wales. Mm. And from past
and Queensland too. Mm.
And past experience suggests that 99.9% of them will be approved. The only one that's ever been stopped, as far as I know, is the one that my community managed to stop at Bickham, which is further up the valley, and that was announced by Premier Keneally a while ago.
That was stopped by a stud as well. Because they threatened the state government and said that if the pollution wasn't sorted, they'd get out.
Yeah. Well, look, I had no idea that there is a scientifically established direct correlation between these micro or nano pollutants and public health.
There's plenty of evidence. There's evidence from the UK, from Scotland, England and Wales. There's evidence from Virginia and America, and there's evidence in India, and there's evidence here. And basically, the government should sort out these power stations as well as measure the PM1s and 2.5s, as well as doing proper independent health studies, because the World Health Organization said in 1997, you must map out the health damage and then formulate public health policy. Here, all they're looking at is dollar notes and sort of pass to get cash in.
And I have to. And then one of the problems is that many people who live in these areas, in places like Muswellbrook and Singleton, are much more concerned about employment than they are about being poisoned.
Well, the trouble is that a lot of them are going to get chronically ill. There was a study done in Douglas in Scotland where the rate of chronic illness went up 57% above the Scottish average, and the COPD went up 60% in 4 years.
On that happy note, I have to take my leave of you, Dick. Dr. Dick Van Steenis, a retired GP, independent public health advocate. He's a participant in a number of public forums in New South Wales and Queensland. The first is in Sydney tomorrow morning. If you're listening to the repeat, I'm sorry you've already missed it. At 10:30 at the New South Wales Teachers Federation Auditorium, entry by donation, organised by the Lock the Gate Alliance. We'll put information on Dick's other appearances on our website at abc.net.au/rn/late-night-live. Keep fighting the good fight, Dick. And after a little bit of music, I'll talk to Dan Gardner about the future.